We're going to continue with more of this intrigue with Mark Shaw, author of Collateral Damage, in a moment. We're going to talk about the JFK situation. We'll circle back and tie all of this in. We've been talking about Marilyn Monroe and what may have happened to her. Up next, let's talk about RFK and JFK and Dorothy Kilgallen as well. And, of course, we'll take calls sometime this hour on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to The Intrigue here on Coast to Coast AM. Now, back in 1960, November 8th, John F. Kennedy defeated Richard Nixon by one of the narrowest margins of ever. Even though he won the Electoral College by pretty good numbers, he only carried 22 states. Richard Nixon won 26. We only had 48 states in the Union at that time. But a lot of this was done because of the work of John Kennedy's father, Joe Kennedy. Now, Joe had a number of associates that he worked with during Prohibition in the mob. So he called in some favors, and he said, I need to win the state of Illinois. I need to win West Virginia. You got to help me. We need those Electoral College votes. We have to carry that, because Kennedy won the popular vote by about 112,000 votes. That's it. That's nothing. Margin of error is bigger than that. So Joe Kennedy had a lot, and his mobster buddies helped get JFK elected. Well, then all of a sudden things changed. JFK named his brother Bobby Kennedy to be the attorney general because his father, Joe, wanted it to be that way. Bobby Kennedy didn't even want to be the attorney general at the time. But he was. And immediately, Bobby Kennedy started pushing and pushing to go after the mob. Let's bring in Mark Shaw. And that became the beginning of the end for JFK, Mark.
Well, yeah, you've nabbed that. You know, the Kennedys were all about control. Joe Kennedy had all that money. He wanted to be president, you know?
He did.
And
he did. He was an ambassador for a while.
Well, yeah, and he became a pretty good friend of Adolf Hitler. So that caused that never to happen. So he came back to the United States and said, well, if I can't be president, then I'm going to make my sons president. He wanted Joe Jr., but he died in the war. So people think I'm crazy when I say this, but Joe Kennedy thought JFK for four, Robert Kennedy for four, JFK for
eight,
RFK for eight, and
Teddy for eight. That's 24 right.
24 years of Kennedy. See, just quickly back to Marilyn a little bit. See, this whole thing with Marilyn, they didn't have any control over her. They couldn't stop her.
That's right.
I mean, I show how Bobby's operatives ended up ending Marilyn's life by poisoning her. I have some clues in there. I show the reader exactly how that happened. But one of the reasons that it did is because they lost control. And the same thing happened when you said it so well, George, in terms of exactly what happened. You know, when Joe Kennedy made the deal with the devil, as I like to call it, with you know, Giancana, Marcello, Trafficante, all those guys, help us win the election and we will leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boy, oh boy, I remember I had that eyewitness who was there at the breakfast when Joe ordered JFK to appoint Bobby. You were right, he didn't want to be attorney general, but boy, when he was attorney general, he went after those guys, and specifically it was Carlos Marcello. And as you know, the New Orleans Don, and that's where Dorothy went after she interviewed Jack Ruby and all of that. We've got a new witness in Collateral Damage that puts together Marcello with Oswald in New Orleans and all of that. And so, you know, I've always looked at the JFK assassination, why Bobby Kennedy wasn't killed instead of why JFK was, because as the Ruby prosecutor told me, Bobby Kennedy had many more enemies than JFK did. But if you kill Bobby Kennedy, JFK will come after you with everything the government has. But if you kill JFK, Bobby will be powerless, and that is exactly what happened.
Well, they used to say if you cut off the tail of the dog, the dog's still around. But if
exactly.
you cut off its head, the tail goes.
And I'd like to, if I may, this one conclusion I have in the book, and I'd like to see what people think of it when they read the book. And I'm going to take it slow a little bit because it takes a minute to figure it out. What I say is,
by the way, we're going to have you come back in a couple weeks,
okay?
Because there's so much to cover here.
And
we want to get some of our listeners who want to ask you questions
okay,
later
just
this
let me
hour.
Finish that up, if I may.
Sure.
By the way, you know that I've sent a letter to the L.A. County D.A., demanding that they reinvestigate Marilyn's death, just like I have with the New York Police Department. Those letters are up on my website, markshawbooks.com.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the
great.
Here's what I believe is a plausible theory. If Bobby Kennedy would have been prosecuted in 1962 for the for his complicity in Marilyn's death, based on all of the evidence that I found, then he would have been powerless, because he would have had to have resigned attorney general and defended himself. Well, if you buy that, then the whole motive for anybody in the mafia, especially Marcello, to kill JFK so that Bobby would be powerless, that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
There would have been no JFK assassination, in my opinion, in 1963, and you can stretch that out. Because if there was no JFK assassination, Dorothy Kilgallen would have not been killed in 1965, because she wouldn't have to have had to investigate an assassination.
Exactly.
There wouldn't have been one.
And when we get into her situation with Jack Ruby, she was getting so close
to getting
some answers. But let me ask you this one possibility.
Sure.
With regards to Marilyn's death. What if the mob, knowing what RFK was involved with her, and they were doing, what if the mob killed her to make him look bad?
Certainly possible, George. It could have happened. I did find some evidence. It's in the book that I think it was, I can't remember who it was exactly, but it was a prominent primary source who said, you know, the mob didn't want anything to happen to Marilyn. They liked the fact that she was actually threatening to go to the media and talk about the love affairs and all of that kind of thing. So that would tend to make you think that they wouldn't have had involvement in her death. Now, I know there's another book that's coming out that talks about the mob having done it. I just never have been able to substantiate that happened. I think you have to look at Bobby Kennedy for sure, and look at, you know, the fact that he just couldn't let Marilyn live anymore.
Why didn't JFK tell Bobby, back off these mobsters, they got me elected, we got to stop this?
I think he probably did. You know, Bobby Kennedy, and this is going to offend a lot of people who still see him as a hero. You know, when I started to write this book, I thought, I don't know, maybe if I want to. You know, I admired him for what he did during the Cuban Missile Crisis, with his civil rights views and all of that. But Bobby was a bad guy. He had a dark side. He was always kind of the runt of the litter in the Kennedy family.
Well,
he would always be.
Hoffa used to call him that.
Exactly. And, you know, this is interesting. It came up the other day. Somebody was talking to me about this. In fact, I think it was one of your listeners who sent me an email. Joe Kennedy had an affair with Gloria Swanson. Remember?
The actress,
okay. In fact, I have Rose Kennedy's autobiography that I use in the book, because she substantiates, by the way, what happened in West Virginia and Illinois. But also, they talk about the fact that Joe actually took Gloria Swanson with his wife on a ship to England for a vacation. Okay? So here Joe's got his trophy, right?
Yeah.
Well, and JFK, you know, has got Jackie, and he had Marilyn for a little while, his trophies. But Bobby doesn't have any trophies. He's got a wife at home that has 12 kids, and they have 12 kids or whatever it is. So now here comes along Marilyn, the most beautiful, exotic woman in the world. You can imagine, you know, he's thinking, well, I'll show Jack, I'll show Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I can get a trophy, too.
I can do it, too, sure.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyways, into JFK's situation, I think you have absolutely solve this incredible dilemma that has been plaguing this country since 1963. I think Oswald was involved. He might not have even been a shooter, but he was part of the plan. Ruby was part of the plan. But Carlos Marcello, the mobster, Santo Traficante, they were involved to get rid of JFK because they knew that Lyndon Johnson would dump out Bobby, and that's exactly what happened.
Exactly. It's just common logic and motive. And I know all these people have different views out there, and they look at this and they look at that and everything. But the most credible reporter to have ever covered the JFK assassination was Dorothy Kilgallen. You know about her her columns. You know that she exposed Jack Ruby's testimony before the Warren Commission, before it was supposed to be exposed. She had, you know, the Oswald file must not close. And where did she go? She only reporter to have interviewed Ruby, and where did she go next? New Orleans.
That's right.
And then she came back to New York.
She was on the story.
Again, and I'm going to get more of the truth, but I'm afraid for my life and my family. If the wrong people knew what I know about the JFK assassination, it would cost me my life. She was writing that book for Random House, and she was dead shortly thereafter.
Didn't Ruby also say almost the same thing, that if he told everybody what he knew, they'd go after him?
You know, I think that's one of the most overlooked statements in the whole JFK assassination. You can find it.
And the Warren Commission did not want to talk to him.
Oh, no. And they didn't interview Dorothy. You know, they just, look, the Warren Commission just covered that up, just like Robert Parker, the police chief in L.A., covered up Marilyn's death for Bobby Kennedy. He appointed a three-panel psychiatrist to look into Marilyn's mental state. They never did any sort of investigation, and the case was closed. Same thing with the Warren Commission. That was just a rubber stamp for J. Edgar Hoover's Oswald alone theory, which made no sense at all.
Mark, you're spot on, and I have to congratulate you, because you may have solved a dilemma that has been a wound on the body of America for all these years, since 1963.
Well, I think it's logical, and I, you know, my credentials aren't as strong as a lot of other people. I think I told you that Purdue University is going to archive all of my research books and materials and all of that, and I'm very proud of that. That was my alma mater. But there's a lot of people a lot smarter than me, George, but this was all out there hiding in plain sight.
Why did why was Hoover so insistent on saying it was Lee Harvey Oswald, he did it alone?
Well, it's logic again. If there was any, I don't want to use the C word, so I'll use plot to kill JFK, and he didn't uncover that, then he could be responsible for what happened to JFK.
Sure.
But if it's some nut like Oswald, nobody could stop that from happening. So he covered his ass. This is basically what he did.
Unbelievable times. And yeah. We still haven't healed from this.
No, and you know, your audience may, I mean, I think hopefully I've really given people food for thought about three true crime murder mysteries. But you know, what happened, this is 60 years ago. Some of your audience may say, hey, why do we give a damn? Well, it's history.
And it's America.
That was a turning point in the world when JFK died. Dorothy cried when it did. How many people cried? I cried when I was a freshman in college. I mean, yeah, he was a philanderer, and he was this, and he was that. You know, I put in the book, I humanized him, because I said he never got to spend time with his two kids. You know, he never got to do the things that he wanted to in the White House. You know, Dorothy, you know, she was the mother of three. She never got to play with her kids. Marilyn never got to have a baby. We lost three icons there in 40 months, but with JFK, what would he have accomplished if he would have lived? It's just a real tragedy.
He pushed us to get to the moon and everything else.
Exactly.
And you're absolutely right. His personal life was all screwed up. I mean, he was seeing Sam Giancana's girlfriend. They were sharing her.
Is that the damnedest thing you've ever heard?
I mean, it was unbelievable. Do you know what the media would do with those candidates today?
Gosh.
I want to play a little clip that I want you to know, because JFK was friends with Sinatra. Sinatra was very influential in getting JFK elected. And they came out with a song. We're just going to play a little bit of it.
All right, good.
But they came out with this song based on High Hopes that Sinatra would sing. And they turned it into a JFK song, and they played it on radio stations all around the country. Now, most of you probably weren't even born then. But I want you to hear a little bit of this.
Please.
Everyone is voting for Jack, 'cause he's got what all the rest lack. Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. 1960. The year for his high.
Richard Nixon have beaten that, Mark?
There's no way that he could. In fact, Dorothy wrote a column at the time before the election. JFK's got Sammy Davis in his corner. He's got Frank Sinatra. You know, he's got Frank Sinatra's mobsters.
Hollywood. He had it all. He looked better than Nixon.
Right?
He looked better than Nixon during the debates by far.
Oh yeah, for sure. Is that an actual song?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know that right after that, remember, JFK was supposed to visit Frank Sinatra in Palm Springs, a big deal, and Frank spent all the money on a helicopter pad and everything, and then Joe Kennedy said, no, you can't go out there, and Frank, was furious because basically JFK dumped him.
Yeah, JFK ended up going to Bing Crosby's place.
That's right.
They basically said, look, stay away from Frank. He deals with mobsters.
Wow.
And Sinatra was just distraught.
Because
he helped get him elected. Yeah, that song is, the real song is called High Hopes.
That's wonderful.
And then it just goes on and on. We're gonna take calls pretty soon, Mark, when we come back after the break. And then I definitely want to get you back and finish up the Dorothy Kilgallen angle and the RFK angle. We'll talk about that as a thing. But...
Yeah. Good.
You know what's so amazing, too? The killers and the plotters of JFK lived for years after his assassination.
Yeah, they did. I mean, free reign. You know, remember the Get Hoffa Squad that they had at the Attorney General's office?
Hoffa, you know, I was the last reporter to talk to Jimmy Hoffa in Detroit.
You've told me that. I've been amazed that was the truth.
I wish I had known what I know now about what you know about Hoffa. Because I would have asked him a couple questions. To think that I was there shaking hands with a guy who may have had a role in this thing.
Oh, absolutely. But they called it the Get Hoffa Squad, but it was basically get all the... You know, Bobby wrote that book, The Enemy Within. I mean, making fun of the mobsters and how they dressed and their oily hair and all that. I mean, he just went after them. But, yeah, I'm amazed that you... interviewed Hoffa. The film, The Irishman, I assume you saw that.
I saw the full three hours of Martin Scorsese's film.
Did you think it had merit?
Yeah, it was fun because many of the players that were acted into the movie, I knew in real life. I mean, you hear their names pop up, Buffalino and this and that, and I went, my God, I remember those days back in 1975 in Detroit. They were incredible times.
Those were dangerous guys. But remember back in those days, gangsters were kind of celebrities.
Oh, they were huge.
Yeah. They might go out and kill 15 people.
And well, what they did is they were smart enough to protect their community.
Oh, yeah.
The people, sure, the rank and file people, loved them.
Good point. Excellent point. That's right. Oh, they did. They were heroes.
Yep, absolutely. But the work you've done... Most of the people involved in any of this, they're all dead now, aren't they?
Yeah. My wife hopes they are. Because
yes, I was just going to say that.
We don't want to knock on the door or anything. I think they are, and this is one of the things that we wonder about. The presidents, none of them, including the ex-president, and probably this one, will ever give us all the JFK assassination documents. Why? We don't know. It's 60 years later, but they won't do it, so... but I think most all of them are dead. There's a casino boss that I interviewed who wanted his name to be protected, but he gave me some new information about Dorothy Kilgallen's death that we'll discuss the next time.
You got that. We're going to come back and take some phone calls. They're lining up to talk with you, Mark. We got to do that next on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll be back in a moment with your calls and Mark Shaw as we talk about his incredible work, Collateral Damage. Mark your calendar for the second half of the program on Wednesday night, June 30th. We will have the second part of this incredible story dealing with the RFK and Dorothy Kilgallen's deaths, Collateral Damage, how it all ties together. It truly does. Next hour, Lauren Rainbow joins us as we talk about communicating with the other side, so make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Mark Shaw. We'll get to your calls as well. On June 30th, Mark, when you're back with part two, I can't believe the fact that Jack Ruby could get his way down into that Dallas Police Department and shoot the suspect at that time of the murder of the president. It's unbelievable.
Well, it is, and when we talk on the 30th, I'll really get into the Ruby trial transcripts. That's a document that people have just overlooked. I have it in Denial of Justice and in the new book, Collateral Damage. All the evidence is right there. That was the eyewitnesses who testified, and it was just brushed over. The Warren Commission didn't pay any attention to it or anything. We'll talk about that on the 30th for sure.
And how he got Melvin Belli, the attorney, to represent him, and how that all happened.
Jeez. Absolutely.
To the phones we go. Rich in San Francisco. Thanks for holding, Rich. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. You said that Oswald should not have been considered a suspect. I believe he never fired a shot because. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. And remember, you had Ed Haslam on not too long ago. He pointed out that the rifle that's found in the sixth floor window was actually a Mauser.
That's right.
And Oswald owned a Corcano. Then he passed the paraffin test. And then it's also known that when he went to the movie theater, he didn't even pay for the ticket. So my guess is that the guy who manipulated Oswald was this swine by the name of Alan Dulles, who was the head of the CIA. He's known for pro-Nazi sympathies and who collaborated with the Nazi regime.
Well, Alan Dulles at the time did not like JFK as well, Mark.
Yeah, that's what I understand. I haven't done as much research, I must admit, in that area. I get emails from people and suggestions about all that. It's just a very difficult area to really pin down as far as what happened there in Daly Plaza. Of course, we got the sixth floor museum there, which distorts history every day. But recently, there's been a woman who's gotten in touch with me, and by the time we talk again, I'll have a little more information from her because she recalls meeting Carlos Marcello. In fact, her grandfather called him Uncle Carly for her, and she recalls going to downtown Dallas and going to the Daly Plaza and seeing Jack Ruby with Carlos Marcello, but I'm still investigating exactly what happened there. But, you know, anybody can be right about what happened at Daly Plaza because it was such a mess, but I would like to tell you about exactly what Jesse Curry thought. The Dallas police chief, because I think that may be the most credible account of really what happened. We can talk about that next time.
Absolutely. And Oswald knew Marcello, didn't he?
Oh, no question about it. In fact, I don't know if you've thought of having on the program Gianni Russo, but Gianni Russo was best known for playing Carlo in The Godfather. He wrote a book called The Hollywood Godfather. And he knew Marilyn Monroe when she was young, but he also was a runner for Frank Costello.
Oh, really?
And according to Gianni Russo, and I've been interviewed by him on his podcast and interviewed him myself, he accounts for the fact that Costello actually sent him down to New Orleans to meet with Marcello, and while he met with Marcello, there was Oswald. And so I think there's some credibility to that. But Dorothy had connected all three. You know, she connected Marcello, Oswald, and Ruby, and that's one of the reasons she ended up dead.
And did he run into Oswald coming out of the bathroom or something?
Exactly, that's exactly right. So you already know about that, yeah. That's what he said. And remember his account, which was chilling in a way, when he got back to New York, hate to put words in his mouth, but this is exactly what he said in the book, too. He got back to New York, and Costello, there was a message from Marcello, it's on, which meant the assassination was on. So Gianni was surprised because Costello said, well, you're going to live in Spain. And so he sent Russo to Spain on a ship. And halfway across the ocean, the television was on, and there was the JFK assassination. And then just shortly thereafter, there was a picture of Lee Harvey Oswald, and Russo said to himself, wait a minute, that's the guy I saw coming out of the bathroom.
Unbelievable.
And Marcello's. I think it's a credible account.
And Marcello sent him away with, what, $30,000?
Something like that, yeah.
My gosh. Bill, Los Angeles. Take it away, Bill. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Mark.
Hi.
Given that JFK demonstrated his own ruthless expediency when he signed off on the assassination of South Vietnam's President Diem, a month before his own murder, do you think little brother Teddy got inspired by both his older brother's ruthless tactics to snuff out Mary Jo Kopechne?
Well, it's certainly possible. That's just if Marilyn being Robert Kennedy being involved in Marilyn's death is bad enough. That whole Kopechne thing at Chappaquiddick is just the darkest day, in my opinion, of the Kennedy family.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that was an innocent woman, and basically she was killed, and he got away with it, just like the Kennedys got away with an awful lot of other things, too. I don't know if that was the inspiration. You know, it's tough to say too much very very good about some of the things that the Kennedys did. You'd like to look at the favorable parts of their lives. But a lot of people died around them, and then all these family members have died. What happened with JFK Jr.? I don't know that we've ever figured out exactly.
And we've heard all kinds of horror stories about that accident.
Absolutely. So you may be right. I hadn't thought about that possible inspiration, but, you know, still the bottom line was that a lovely woman, an innocent woman, died in the waters there at Chappaquiddick. Should have never happened.
Next up, we go to Jack in Monterey, California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jack. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, George. And Mark, how are you today?
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, in the past, when I heard these reports that the Kennedys were behind Marilyn's death, I thought, yeah, right. Dead men can't defend themselves. Blame it on the Kennedys. But looking at the father, this alcohol business and everything else, and Chappaquiddick and everything else, maybe, you know, you're making some sense here, is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to go on record.
Go ahead.
Well, it just my point is that, you know, I was wary of writing this book because there's been so many rumors out there, and people have blamed the Kennedys and the mob and everybody else for for Marilyn's death. And I was wary of wading into these waters, but you heard me talk about the documents. The documents don't lie. I can say anything I want to, but that's one reason I so appreciate George letting me use the documents, because that's the key. I think between George and I, this is our contribution to history, my work and him allowing me to come on and tell about this to his audience. But the documents don't lie, and so, you know, Dorothy Kilgallen, she believed in her own mind. She told her housekeeper, her butler, that she believed it was Robert Kennedy who was involved in Marilyn's death. It just makes perfect sense. He could not let her go to the media with not only the love affairs, but this whole thing with regard to national security secrets about UFOs and killing Castro and all of that.
Where was the housekeeper, Mark, during all this?
At Marilyn's, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the three clues that I used to figure out exactly what happened to Marilyn. One was she was supposed to have ingested 40 to 50 pills, and the detective who was on the scene first said that was impossible based on when she would have taken them and when she died. And so that made me believe. Also, there was no glass in the bedroom. There was no way she could have taken them with a glass of water, mm-hmm. It looked like. So that was one of the clues. And the second one had to do, I found in the autopsy, and I don't want to give away all of it because I want people to read it, but there was an injury to her hip that was in the autopsy that everybody overlooked. And I said to myself, how did that happen? Because Noguchi said it was a fresh injury. And so I wondered about that. And then when the detectives got to the house, what was the housekeeper doing? She was doing the laundry. She was at the washing machine.
At the washing? There's a dead body in the bedroom, and she's washing clothes?
That's right. Or the sheets.
This is crazy.
And so I put those three things together, and you'll see how I use them then to come up with a narrative as to what I think happened to Marilyn the night she died.
Let's go to John in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome, John. Go ahead.
Yes, I think we've got to go beyond... I think these cutouts that are often used by the CIA to hide his own dirty hand, they may use or put the fingerprints on some lower-level culprit like the mafia. And in this case, very despicably, I feel, to make Robert Kennedy and the Kennedy family the victims of these assassinations as somehow involved in it and cover up. This is a limited hangout, a despicable CIA tactic of claiming that some lower level entity, rather than the CIA, the military industrial complex, which had the real motive and above all the power to perpetrate it and cover it up. And there's an article called The U.S. Takeover of America in the 1960s is the story of our times.
All right, but I don't think any of that happened in these cases. Mark?
No, I don't think so. The documents I have basically were, all about what their investigation have showed about what Bobby Kennedy's part was in Marilyn's death and all of that. So I don't know that they could have been involved, but I'm the first one to say be suspect of the CIA, that's for sure. I mean, who knows exactly what they were doing during that time, and they had their fingers in everything. But with regard to the death of Marilyn and even the death of Dorothy Kilgallen, I don't see their involvement there.
Did Jackie know what was going on?
Oh, she had to. She had to. You know, I wish I had the book right over here, but here's a book I'd suggest to everybody. Jacqueline Kennedy wrote, Caroline Kennedy interviewed Jackie Kennedy shortly after JFK died. And she kept her notes and all of that, and that's in a book. Next time I'm on your program, I'll get the name of it. But people might want to look at it because it talks about Jackie's views in terms of what happened. It talks about J. Edgar Hoover, and that as far as she was concerned, he would have been gone if JFK would have lived.
And she interviewed by Caroline?
By Caroline.
She interviewed her mother then.
That's exactly right. And it talks about his involvement with the kids, and I tried to humanize him. He used to play with them before he would go to the office. We know that they were in the office and all that. But to answer your question, she had to have known about the affairs. I mean, there's no question about that. She just looked the other way, just like Ethel looked the other way, I'm sure.
And Hillary.
Exactly. And Rose Kennedy looked the other way. You know, they just decided, hey, I'm not going to get a divorce. You know, all of them are Catholic. I'm not going to get a divorce. I'm just going to put up with this because
right.
of all the wonderful parts of these men or whatever. But it's despicable what they did with wandering around with every woman they
And
they
it was obvious,
find.
Wasn't it?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
But today with social media, the president couldn't get away with what he was doing. My God.
Like we talked about before, I don't believe he could have been married to Jackie and then had a love affair with Sam Giancana's girlfriend. I don't believe he could have.
That would not have happened today.
No, I don't think so.
And that's another story too, the Giancana murder and why they bumped him off.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the mafia is fascinating. Let's face it. I mean, what happened back then, we don't have that anymore. Those guys were bigger than life. Costello, Marcello, Trafficante.
They ran Vegas.
Oh, absolutely. They invented
Well, and it was Jimmy Hoffa who financed their Vegas ventures.
He certainly did. And, they were bigger than life characters. I think that's why people saw them as celebrities, even though they knew they were murderers, for God's sakes.
Let's get you in, Eric, for a minute before we run out of time. Eric in Indiana, truck driving. Go ahead, Eric.
Hello, George. How are you?
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Great. Hey, I got a comment. I went to Dallas and checked out that school book depository, done all that tour down there and stuff. And I tell you what, now Oswald, if he did it, he had a good seat to be able to do it from that window, because I sit right there and looked at that through like a movie screen. That was scary, really, just the way I was up there doing it myself, but anyway, I got a question. Lyndon Johnson, nobody said much about him. You think that he might have had anything to...
All right, 40 seconds to go, Mark. We always heard that rumor, too, didn't we?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Just quickly, Lyndon Johnson had the greatest motive to have killed JFK, other than the mafia, obviously, because why? He became president. But I've never been able to connect him to JFK's death. There's too many layers there and all of that. I can't find primary sources, and so I've never promoted that theory at all.
Yeah, absolutely. But he did hate Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, my gosh. We'll get into that next time, too, if you don't mind. That was a nice couple. And then you can throw in Hoover and Bobby Kennedy.
They hated each other. That's true.
Exactly. Exactly.
Unbelievable. Mark, thanks. We'll talk to you on June 30th again, okay?
All right. Thanks again, George. You're a good man.
You take care of yourself. The name of the book, Collateral Damage, just an amazing story. We'll go into what I will call part two as we talk about RFK and Dorothy Kilgallen's situation on that date. We'll be back in a moment as we talk about the other side.